Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for being with us here today, and it will be well worth your while. Our ministry is called For His Glory, in which we help to show you the deeper things of God through Hebrew eyes. We'll demonstrate through culture, customs, tradition, and language things that may not have been so evident to you in the past. Now, our teaching today is on key points on prayer. There are several key points I would like to mention with regard to prayer, with regard to what it is and what it is not. Now, what is the word in Hebrew for prayer, which is what we're basing our entire teaching on? The key word and the word that we're using is the Hebrew word for prayer is lehitpalel, lehitpalel, to pray. Now, in Hebrew, the root of that is palal. In Hebrew, a verb can undergo seven different changes in what we call seven houses or binyanim. A house is binyan. Just picture seven houses. And a verb can live in these houses, as you will, depending on how it's conjugated, in from one to seven houses. All right? Now, lehit palel means to pray. Now, many people pray. Here's a question that I have for us all. Does God hear every prayer?
No, I don't think he does.
Why not?
Because
does God not know everything?
Yes, he does.
Does he hear every prayer?
I
agree with you. He doesn't hear every
prayer.
No,
tell us why.
God says he doesn't hear the prayer of the unrighteous.
Yes.
The wicked, double-minded. I thought you just said he knows everything. Yes, those are two different thoughts altogether. Mm-hmm. He knows all things. He's even counted the number of hairs on your head. And has foreknowledge of all things, period, that ever were, are, or will be in our time, domain, and frame. He is beyond time and knows all things that happen throughout all time in relation to us and all things, period. Now, to say that he hears prayer, we need to understand something about the term to hear in Hebrew, mm-hmm. which is lishmoa, or the three-letter root shama, which means to hear, it also means to obey, as two primary definitions.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, to hear doesn't just mean to be cognizant of it, it means to hear and obey. God will only obey, and he's not sub lego, in Latin, under law. God is defining law, and law springs out of his very being, which is in accordance with his essence. Therefore, when we say that he hears and obeys, if what is said, prayed, is the prayer is according to his will, 1 John 5:14-15, then he hears us because it is his word that he's hearing, and mm-hmm. he will be his own word. Therefore, he does his own word. Therefore, if you will, he has heard and obeys and does thereof his own word, his will. He hears, obeys, meaning he does, all right? He mm-hmm. does what he says. He's not obeying us.
Right.
That's silly. That's putting the emphasis, you know, on the wrong syllable, all right? That's just not the way it works.
Yes.
You can't put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. You'll end up with a mess. So, I know where it goes, people. So, you have to recognize the fact of the matter is this. We pray. We must say the right words. And let's look at the root of the word to pray. Palal. P-A-L-A-L. Now, there's three Hebrew letters in there. And every Hebrew letter has
meaning.
Seven
meanings.
Exactly,
right.
Seven meanings. And the first letter is a pei, followed by two lamids. Now, a pei means, like a pei in Hebrew means mouth.
Mouth.
And with a mouth you
speak.
Exactly, so mouth that speaks. And we're looking at a word picture. Right now we're looking at the frames or the scenes of the movie in this living word picture or living word movie.
Right.
Because he was a living language. So we'll call it a movie now. So therefore, we have a mouth that speaks, lamed, lamed. The term lamed, lamad, will mean to teach.
Teaching.
Tongue, rod,
right.
Authority. And there's two of them. So in Hebrew, if you want to make a superlative, like the word best in English, good, better, best, you'd have to double mm-hmm. a word or double a letter. So we have pei, lamed, lamed. Well, those are two lameds, or two letters that are exactly the same, one after the other. So it makes it a superlative. So it's the mouth that speaks authority,
mm-hmm.
or the mouth that speaks with the greatest authority. Mm-hmm. What about if it's teaching, the mouth that speaks with the greatest
teaching?
Exactly, the mouth that speaks with the greatest teaching. This is the concept we need to embody. So again, back to the word prayer at its root form, palal. What is to pray in its root form, palal? The mouth that speaks with the greatest authority, the mouth that speaks with the greatest teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you going to find the greatest teaching?
In the Bible.
In the Bible and only in the Bible,
yes.
Period. So we see in the Bible where we're going to get the greatest teaching, the greatest word, the greatest authority. And this is what we're going to speak. We will speak the truth that God has revealed and given to us in written form. And what we receive in our spirit must be in agreement with the Bible, because the Word and the Spirit agree. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's given us the very words of God, the same one that lives in a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God, in Yeshua HaMashiach Aroneinu, in Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. Yeshua HaMashiach Aroneinu in Hebrew. So, let's go back to the infinitive, lehit palel. Now that form, this is very interesting. One of the houses, of the seven houses we mentioned, that a verb can live in, is hit pael. And this form, hit pael, is very interestingly, is a reflexive, also a passive form. So in its reflexive, it means that it acts upon ourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have reflexive forms in French and in other languages, all right? And when you see that, it acts upon the one performing the action.
The reflexes, one who's speaking.
The one who's speaking.
Okay.
Therefore, when I say, I pray, who are we changing? Us, another, or God?
Ourselves.
Yes. How often, very good, do people pray, though, expecting to change God, move God's hand, have him do something? Now, does not God say in Malachi 3:6a, A means the first part of the sixth verse, for I, the Lord, do not change. Ki ani Yahweh lo sheniti. Ki ani Yahweh lo sheniti. For I, the Lord, do not change. Now, that's pretty clear. He doesn't change. Period. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Very
mm-hmm.
good. So when we pray, we change. And we must become the ones to grow enough into the prayer to receive what was already provided or bequeathed to us by God, who doesn't change. Don't pray to be blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says what? Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. What does it say? We will be blessed? No, it says, are we being blessed? No, it says, we...
We are blessed.
We have been blessed.
We have been blessed.
Exactly. With how many spiritual blessings?
All.
All of them. Where are they?
In
the heavenlies. In who? In Christ.
In Christ.
Exactly. So we have to then pray with his name? No, in his name. And they are going to be appropriated. And as spiritual beings, it should not be difficult at all. Since you remember Ephesians 2:6, you are seated with him in the heavenlies. That's Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 6, Ephesians 2:6. You are seated with him in the heavenlies. Now, in a moment, we're going to go to Mark 11:23-24. So I want to make you sensitive to this fact. I believe God wants you to know that when you pray, and you say, I prayed, I don't see anything, God doesn't hear. Listen, the prayer changes you. The prayer changes you, your heart, your mind. You will find that as you change, you will then be moved to a position through that change to appropriate what God has already given. When you want water, you put your cup under the faucet. You don't hold it in the middle of the room and go, water, water.
Yes.
Therefore, you have moved that cup to where you can appropriate this. Now, therefore, we change. So sometimes people, it's hard to accept responsibility, but you have to. You have to. Let me rephrase that. You have to. And if you don't want to, you still have to. If you don't and won't, what's going to change?
Nothing.
Nothing. My brother saw a shirt one day on a front. It's a front with an arrow. Went around to the back on the front. It said, "Your health. Don't worry about it." And it had a big arrow. Went to the back. It said, "It'll just go away. If you don't worry about it, it'll go away. Take care of things. If we do nothing, I guarantee you'll get just about that much. Nothing. Because out of nothing, nothing comes. You must be faithful and diligent and pursue things with a relentless perseverance, a dedicated diligence that will just shine. And don't stop till you get it. If it's in God, it's of God, it's for you. Because God is for you. He's not against you.
Right.
So when you pray, you see something, it changes your mindset. I'm praying to God, I got to do hoops, I got this, and maybe he'll like me and give me something. This is not bargaining with God. God says, I've already given you everything. How much do you want me and what I've given for you to give to you and through you to others to bring heaven to earth, which is the goal? So we have to be heavenly minded and bring what is on heaven, in heaven, onto earth, and give those precious gifts to others to bring and make earth what it should be, on earth as it is.
In heaven.
In heaven, exactly, right. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you very much. So let's go to Mark 11, 23 and 4. And Danielle's going to read it for us together, and everyone should be there. Mark 11, verses 23 and 24.
Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he has said is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you.
Therefore, let's look at it carefully. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, we must open our mouth and speak. And what is the first letter of palal, which is the root of the term lehit palal, to pray?
Hey.
Pay, which means
mouth
that
speaks.
A mouth that speaks, and
yes,
not just a mouth that's open.
Right.
You can put food in or get words out.
Right.
This is the time not to eat, but to speak. All right? So, speak words of life, and you're to speak first what? To the mountain. Now, what's interesting, a very famous verse that people know, in the end of Zechariah Hanavi, chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of the armies. Whole verse. Then he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of the armies. Listen to verse 7. It says what, but it's actually who. Miata. Who are you, O great mountain? Who are you, O great mountain? Let me rephrase that. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become a plain. And he will bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace upon it. So you speak to the mountain. All right, this opposing force.
What is a mountain?
Whatever that mountain is standing before you that's in your way, disease, poverty, difficulty, issues, anything between you and your God, between you and yourself, between you and others. Those are your three spectrum of investigation. You investigate
speak
each spectrum. You speak.
To
you
that
speak
mountain.
Who are you? The personality of it and a personality that may well exist behind it. You speak to it, and not that it'll become a rubble, it'll become a plain, non-existent.
That's good.
Okay? You speak to it, that it has the audacity to even put its face in front of an anointed one of God, because God says, do my prophet, do not touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Do not touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm.
So you speak to the problem, like, who are you, you poverty?
Whatever the issue is,
who
and the
you?
Spirit of poverty.
Sickness.
Yes. To the material and the spiritual aspects of both.
Yes.
To poverty and the spirit of poverty. Poverty, because it's manifested here somehow.
Yes.
To a lack of the knowledge,
yes,
and lack of faith. And because without God says, my people perish for lack of the knowledge in Hosea 4:6. Not knowledge, people. Hadat. In Hebrew, it's a definite article. The knowledge. Hadat. All right? So God says they perish for lack of the knowledge. And with that knowledge, we speak to poverty and the spirit of poverty behind it.
And any other thing that's not of God.
Fill in the blank. Anything
else. And it says here, and if you do not have any doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say is going to happen, it shall be granted to you.
Yes. Now, what it says, when you say to the mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. All right? That is to be cast into the sea. That is to be taken and just thrown into the sea. Period. That is to be taken out. There's to be what? Taken up. Now, there's a difference here, and I'll speak to this. Those people that are involved with martial arts, boxing, planting, horticulture. You don't just mow the weed or push the person. You look to break the roots, all right? You got to get it by the roots. So we don't just speak to the problem. You look to go after the root of the problem. Remember when Jesus Christ cursed the fig tree? It died from the roots up.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't, and now it wasn't seen right away, but it's obvious from what he said that his attack went to the roots of the problem first. And then it dries up. If you have a root, you can mow that lawn for 10 years, and the weed will come back and look ugly in your face and just wiggle its face. And actually, the weed will get worse because it still has a root system. It only will grow. You can mow it all day, and not only will it keep coming back, it'll be worse because you never got it yet at the root. If you get the root, there's no fruit. If you unbalance a person in a course of self-defense, they don't have a base from which to operate and launch an attack. Therefore, you stop them at the root of the problem. Be taken up and then cast into the sea. You see what it says?
Mm-hmm.
So truly I say to you, whoever says, speak first to the mountain, whatever the problem is, and the spirit behind it, be taken up. You get to the root of it. So you have to stay with it and have discernment by the Holy Spirit. What is the root behind this? What is the spirit behind this? What is the issue behind this? Don't just pray against a problem. Get to the root of the problem. If you don't get to the root, you will not have success. In the natural and in the supernatural. It's the same truth because truth is true all the way through. Truth is true all the way through. Read verse 23 again, Danielle, with that in mind, starting with truly.
Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart.
Stop there. And does not doubt in his heart. Doubt comes from the term diastasis, all right, used in another place in Scripture. And I believe that's the same word here. Dia means two, stasis is like to straddle two shores, is to stand on two things, is to be uncertain, unsure, wavering, doubting. You're splitting yourself and you're not unified. There's not a one-mindedness here. Therefore, a doubt in the heart, in your heart, inside, your ruling spirit, your soul, your mind, that which is you, your very essence, there must be no doubt. Now, a deeper understanding of the word heart comes in the Hebrew word lev as a two-letter root, lamed, bet. And if we look at the Hebrew letter by letter, remember in Hebrew, every letter has how many meanings?
Seven.
Seven meanings for every letter. So if we look at it, it's like looking at a living movie. You look at the lamed and you look at the bet. Lamed means what? Rod, tongue, teaching, authority. Bait is like after a house, bite. Mm-hmm. So what is heart at a deeper level is the authority or teaching in your house.
In your
house. What is a house? It's where you live.
Where you live.
Let's put those concepts together to see the whole living word picture or living movie. The living words movie. Now, this movie will then show us that the heart is the authority in your life. The authority that determines how you live. All right, the authority in your house. That is your heart. What is the ruling principles guiding how you live that are in your life? So if you have a pure heart, you have pure teaching that's guided your life, you will have no distortion when you unify your mind and bolster your faith into a laser-like attack against this problem. But then you must have good teaching. You must be a good Talmid, a good disciple, a good learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have good teaching, pure teaching, and no unwavering. Your teaching must have pure, solid doctrine, only and totally the Word of God and all of the counsel of God.
Yes.
The more you know, the more success you'll have, and the deeper you should take it in. So it must be taken in very deeply. Chew your food, people. Get the teaching of God in, because your heart, that authority and that teaching that determines how you live and in your life is a key principle of how we're going to be effective. So if there's no doubt in your heart, meaning there's no wavering in the teaching that's guiding how you live, then when you pray with such solid faith, because the faith is based on true belief, which is based on knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You can't believe in what you don't know.
Right.
And faith, belief are synonymous. So is trust. You must trust someone, something. So for that to be solid, you must have solid teaching, pure teaching, right teaching. Now let's go back to the verse and then go forward. Truly I say to you, please. Mark 11:23-24.
Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him.
Good. Now, perfect. You must believe in your heart that it shall be so.
Mm-hmm.
It shall be so, which must mean you take your attention off your present circumstances and you live in the future. You are citizens of heaven. You are to have the eagles, I call it the eagle and the ant. The ant is on the earth, trudging along, looking at its past behind it and the future not yet in front of it, well, in its vision and the present all around it. The eagle, though, in a swoop from above to us in the heavenlies, looks down and sees the past, present, and future in one swoop, in one glance, in one moment of time.
Mm-hmm.
Einstein, the German Jew we call in English Einstein, Albert Einstein, basically said that the past and present and future are basically stubbornly held illusions to many. When we have the view as an eagle and we're told a life like an eagle, right? Those we're to live the eagle's life.
Mm-hmm.
We're to live Nesher, which means the life of the warrior prince. We're to live the life of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. When we live the life of the warrior prince, the life of that eagle, right? The life of the warrior prince. We're to get a sweeping view of it all and to see the future accepted as a present, as a reality that's going to be calling into being that which is not in the present, but that is a reality to us.
Right.
And as it becomes so real, then tomorrow, the future of tomorrow will become now a today in one day.
Wow.
So tomorrow becomes a today as today becomes yesterday. And we can live the future today when we get high enough, clear enough, and get God's view on it. One more verse in the time we have remaining. Verse 24. Danielle will read it.
Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you.
Okay, now this is very important. We enter another time domain. Therefore, it's a conclusionary statement. Therefore, I say to you, all things, how many things?
All.
All things for which you pray, palal. Remember who's being changed?
We are.
All things for which you pray and ask. I would ask. Believe. Many people ask and don't believe.
Right.
Oh, I'm asking. Well, you don't believe. Why
right.
ask? Why do you ask if you don't believe you're going to receive?
Right.
Or how good God is? If you ask, believe it. Or don't ask. Get your belief up to speed first and then ask. You ask and don't believe. That's wrong. Ask and, not or, or maybe. Ask and believe. Ask and believe. Ask, pray, and ask, believe that you have received them. That's past tense. And they'll be granted to you. The reality that most people have the greatest is the past.
Mm-hmm.
The past is over, so it's easy to believe yesterday because it's behind you. Believe that you have received it. And it's such a deep verse, we could take half hour on it without breaking much. Read Mark 11:23-24, and I have to reference you to Mark the next two verses, Mark 11:25-26, and recognize that unforgiveness will cripple your ability to get your prayers through. All right, because it's not going to change you. Unforgiveness binds you.
Mm-hmm.
Last verse, Ecclesiastes 3:15. That which is, has been already, and that which will be, has already been. For God seeks what is passed by. people. You have to study that in depth if you have knowledge of physics and time domains. And I'll study Einstein and his theories of relativity, general and special. Look at these things carefully. Study time, because that which is in the past, we're going to see again in the future. Mm-hmm. That which is has already been. That which will be has already been. For God seeks what is passed by. You go seek what God has sought, and you'll have it today. Amen.
Amen.